Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of September 29, 2023. This week we pray for our country, for justice in the land according to God's will, and for the renewing of bonds and reconciliation of communities, friends, and neighbors. Our first reading is from Ezekiel chapter 18. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father as well as the soul of the son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Yet, you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life, because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions that he had committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel. Everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. Our next reading is from Philippians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul writes, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Our next reading, our gospel reading, is from Matthew chapter 21. And when Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Jesus answered them, I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? And they discussed it among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. The reading for our discussion is from Leviticus chapter 8. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments and the anointing oil, and the bowl of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was assembled at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Moses said to the congregation, This is the thing that the Lord has commanded to be done. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put the coat on him and tied the sash around his waist and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him and tied the skillfully woven band of the ephod around him, binding it to him with the band. And he placed the breastpiece on him, and in the breastpiece he put the Urim and the Thummim. And he set the turban on his head, and on the turban, in front, he set the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it, and consecrated them. And he sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times, and anointed the altar and all its utensils, and the basin and its stand to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and clothed them with coats and tied sashes around their waists and bound caps on them, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then he brought the bull of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull of the sin offering, and he killed it. And Moses took the blood and with his finger put it on the horns of the altar around it and purified the altar and poured out the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. And he took all the fat that was on the entrails and the long lobe of the liver and the 2 kidneys with their fat, and Moses burned them on the altar. But the bull and its skin and its flesh and its dung he burned up with fire outside the camp, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then he presented the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and he killed it. And Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. He cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burned the head and the pieces and the fat. He washed the entrails and the legs with water, and Moses burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt offering with a pleasing aroma, a food offering for the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then he presented the other ram, the ram of ordination, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and he killed it. And Moses took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. Then he presented Aaron's sons. And Moses put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears and on the thumbs of their right hands and on the big toes of their right feet. And Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. Then he took the fat and the fat tail and all the fat that was on the entrails and the long lobe of the liver and the 2 kidneys with their fat and the right thigh. And out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took 1 unleavened loaf and 1 loaf of bread with oil and 1 wafer and placed them on the pieces of fat and on the right thigh. And he put all these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons, and waved them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then Moses took them from their hands and burned them on the altar with the burnt offering. This was an ordination offering with a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. And Moses took the breast and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord. It was Moses' portion of the ram of ordination, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and of the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and his garments and also on his sons and his sons' garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments with him. And Moses said to Aaron and his sons, "Boil the flesh at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and there eat it, and the bread that is in the basket of ordination offerings, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. And what remains of the flesh and the bread you shall burn up with fire. And you shall not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting for 7 days until the days of your ordination are completed. For it will take 7 days to ordain you. As has been done today, the Lord has commanded to be done to make atonement for you at the entrance of the tent of meeting, you shall remain day and night for 7 days, performing what the Lord has charged, so that you do not die, for so I have been commanded. And Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord commanded by Moses. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Alleluia. A congregation of people is a community. It is a smaller version of the community in which people live. In the town of Lanesville, Indiana, where I used to serve, it wasn't a huge community, so a good portion of the people who lived there might be in church on a Sunday. In spite of that, it was nothing like the community of Israel, where all the people would have gathered in the tent of meeting. These people were tightly knit and held together with a purpose of being God's people and surviving together in the wilderness. It was God who provided for them, even if they didn't always appreciate it. Moses was the leader of the community, the chief, so to speak, taking them through that wilderness, but guided by God himself, who led them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 22, it said, "The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people." I think it would have been comforting to know God's presence in that way, to see a visible reminder of God leading and guiding them. Leviticus chapter 8 details the ordination of Aaron and his sons. They were consecrated for their special work in the tabernacle. They were set aside for these duties. Recently, I've come across some videos by a woman named Erica Thompson who keeps hives of bees. She often saves hives that have set up shop in inconvenient places, and the owners need someone to take care of all those bees. She knows a lot about bee behavior and talks about how the worker bees each have their tasks at different stages of life. Some care for the queen, others build the hive, others go to gather pollen. Writer Charlotte Anderson points out that bees gather pollen as their only source of protein, and it feeds the bees of the colony. Other bees act as undertakers, removing fellow bees that die. They each have their roles. The queen's sole purpose is to lay eggs. She does no work. Any ordinary worker could potentially be chosen by the hive to be a queen, but that one has to be chosen from the very beginning of life, and they have to be raised for that purpose. In the community of Israel, there was a special group, the sons of Aaron, that is Moses' brother, and their descendants were set aside to do the work of the priesthood. Since they were set aside for that task, they depended on the community to provide for them, as they did not raise livestock or do any kind of farming, hunting, gathering, or any kind of trade. Their trade was to be the priests of the community. We have discussed some of the sacrificing that is taking place in previous chapters. Here, Aaron and his sons are being purified for their work in the tabernacle. They are washed with water, and they are clothed with the priestly garments. A sacrifice of a bull and two rams are brought, as well as a basket of unleavened bread. These are all offerings to God. Payment is made for sin and for purification from it. They are washed with water in preparation and clothed in the priestly garments. In baptism, we liken baptizing to Noah's flood, in which God purified the world. Evil was drowned in the flood. Likewise, baptism is likened to drowning the old Adam or the old Eve in us. Aaron is anointed with oil in verse 12. He will be the high priest with the sons assisting. The bull is sacrificed. This is all according to the instruction of God. The blood of the bull purifies the altar. An altar in the fallen world is purified by God and made right with him. The refuse of the bull, the skin and flesh and dung that are not used, are burned on a fire outside the camp. just as Jesus himself was treated as refuse, crucified outside Jerusalem. Yet his death is the real sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, doing what the sacrifices of the temple could not do, and purifying all of humanity. The bull is the sin offering. The first ram is a burnt offering. The whole ram is burned on the altar. The fat of the first ram is burned on the altar as a pleasing aroma to God, a food offering for the Lord. The second ram is the ram of ordination. Its blood is placed on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand, the right thumb, and on the big toe of his right foot. Perhaps this may be likened to the Passover, where the door was marked with blood. Aaron and his sons are marked like the door, a reminder of the sacrifice of the lamb in Passover, where death passed over them. Meat and bread are waved before the Lord and then burned on the altar as a burnt offering, the ordination offering. Bread and meat are waved before the Lord by the priests. The wave offering has been described as making the sign of the cross. Though God does not need food, we might liken this to that event where Moses and the elders of Israel dined together in Exodus chapter 24, verse 9. There it says, "Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and ate and drank." In a similar way, we all share Holy Communion together in worship. The priests will also get their share. The blood and oil from the altar are sprinkled on Aaron and his garments and his sons and their garments. They are all consecrated together. Then the flesh at the entrance of the tent of meeting is shared by Aaron and his sons along with the bread. What remains of any of it is to be burned up with fire. The ordination meal is shared by them all. The priests were to remain there for 7 days at the tent of meeting, day and night, performing what the Lord had charged. Moses adds, "so that you do not die." So it seems that there's also literally a passing over that is taking place with them. They are marked with the blood and prevented from death as they perform the tasks of the priesthood. It is a sacred and solemn duty. 7 days will also remind us of God's work, where in 6 days he created the world and on the seventh he rested. As always, there are mysteries to be found in these events. Read the chapter carefully because every detail is important. It is possible that I may have missed some important details or interpretations. The priesthood is a solemn task, and Aaron and his sons must be properly consecrated for it. It is not an everyday task. God is at work restoring and making right the things of the fallen world, altars, and people. It is Jesus himself who will renew all people through his sacrifice on the cross. And in the end, he will roll up the old world like a scroll and make all things new, a new heavens and a new earth. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more undertaker bees, predation or death in the animal kingdom, and no more death among those originally created to be in the image of God. In the ordination rites, I believe we see a microcosm of the redemption of mankind and the ultimate redemption of the world and the creation. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, as we live in the fallen world, purify us through your Son Jesus and restore us from the fallenness of our lives. Forgive our sins and make us your people, ready for a new creation. We look for the final return of your Son and the ultimate renewal that you will bring. Give us faith through your Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for our country, that you would bring healing to our country, that you would bring justice in this land according to your holy will. We pray for the renewing of bonds and reconciliation of communities, for friends and neighbors everywhere across the nation. We pray that you guide us into better times, trusting in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verse this week comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affectation and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. All of our scriptures, all of our verses come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Jesus lives, the victory's won. Death no longer can appall me. Jesus lives, death's reign is done. From the grave will Christ recall me. Brighter scenes will then commence. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives, to him the throne. High above all things is given. I shall go where he is gone. Live and reign with him in heaven. God is faithful, doubting's hence. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives for me, he died. Hence will I to Jesus living, pure in heart and act abide. Praise to him and glory giving. All I need God will dispense. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives, I know full well. Nothing me from him shall sever. Neither death nor powers of hell part me now from Christ forever. God will be my sure defense. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives, and now is death, but the gate of life immortal. This shall calm my trembling breath when I pass its gloomy portal. Faith shall cry as fails each sense, Jesus is my confidence.